You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
The Hawk presents one of the most scintillating radio experiences every Wednesday.
You do good here, you go right to Saskatchewan.
Somewhat better with the beat, bop, bop. The accents actually say bebop.
Coming to you from the top of the Niagara Escarpment, featuring music, comedy, interviews, and so much more.
It's like putting lemon on fish or vegetables. It brings out the flavor.
Right here on this stage, it's probably the world's greatest concentration of sinners in any one spot.
You got to be good or bad as the devil.
This is the John Yathens Variety Hour on 101.5 The Hawk.
Try it one more once.
Thank you. 101.5 The Hawk, welcome to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. I am, of course, Johnny Athens. This is the Johnny Athens Variety Hour, coming back to you live from 101.5 The Hawk, from the top of the Niagara Escarpment. There's so much fun stuff we're going to have tonight. I thank you for joining me, and let's buckle up and dive right in. And I want to start off talking about this article I read the other week. It is from Firefox's Pocket and is about Dr. Seuss and an interesting strategy he had to utilize when writing Green Eggs and Ham specifically. Now, Green Eggs and Ham actually came out of a bet between him and Random House founder and publisher Bennett Cerf. You may know him perhaps from being a panel guest star, I suppose. A panel star. He wasn't a guest on the original What's My Line show. So anyways, him and Theo Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss, had a bet about who would be able to write the most interesting, entertaining children's book using only 50 different words. The winner, of course, as we know, was Dr. Seuss with Green Eggs and Ham. That was actually the number one interesting thing I found out in this article, was that Green Eggs and Ham has only 50 words. That seems pretty insane to me. And since publication, it's sold over 200 million copies. And what do we learn from this? I think we learn about the power of constraint, how oftentimes it's been quoted, and something we should take into our own day-to-day lives, is constraints inspire our creativity. We're given limits and then forced to work within them. Oftentimes, that is a better way to yield productive results than just having a completely free rein to do whatever you want. Too many possibilities leave your mind wandering around. The limitations are driving us to figure out solutions. And those were Dr. Seuss's constraints, 50 words or fewer. Actually, 50 words exactly. And we're given similar tasks every day. You can only eat whole foods on our diet, perhaps. You can't eat milk or eggs. You only have 15 minutes of spare time every day. Only 30 minutes to fit a workout into your routine. But we get it done, don't we? I mean, look at this. Every week we come here on the Variety Hour. You and I have an hour to have some fun, and we do the best we gosh darn can. And I think we kick it off pretty well. So why not kick it off tonight? That's right. The Johnny Athens Variety Hour starts now here on 101.5 The Hawk.
Thank you.
101.5 The Hawk, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good, especially after those two songs. Bernie Senensky there with May and June, followed by Charlie Parker with Swedish Schnapps. Schnapsil. Yum yum. Speaking yum yum, our family has a bit of a tradition for New Year's, and that is we eat lentils every New Year's, usually even before we drink the champagne. And then more after we drink the champagne. And it's just a tradition, a kind of this Italian folk thing where eating the lentils will give you good fortune and good luck in the new year, happy health and all that good stuff. And I have to say, I think I'm feeling those lentils today. Really, folks, this is, they're coming up. And it works out really well, I think, because then for January we have the luck of the lentils, followed in February by the luck of love for Valentine's Day. And then it's March, you have the luck of the Irish for St. Paddy's Day. And then Easter, I suppose, is April Fool's Day because we've all been a fool for this luck. And then May is a Victoria Day weekend, and we just start celebrating and having a great riot, forgetting about all the luck we need because we're just doing our own thing. June comes around, and I suppose there's not much going on except that summer is beginning, the temperature is rising, we're all complaining about the heat after too much cold. Then Canada Day comes, and boy, oh boy, it's Canada Day, and we are doing it more than ever. Year after year, it gets bigger and bigger. More fireworks, more barbecues. Then after that, it's August. We prepare ourselves for the end of summer. It's like June, but backwards. Only to lead us into the Labor Day weekend, where there's rib fests galore, barbecues, and more. Only to start the season with school in September, And then it's October, and we thank everyone during Thanksgiving for the wonderful year we've had, and then lead into November with the somber Remembrance Day as we look back not only on our past year, but of the great history of ourselves and our country. And of course, that's followed by December, where it's Christmas, the holiday time, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, as well as the new year coming up. And boy, oh boy, we look back and say what I could have used that year was some luck. And we start off the year with lentils. And there you go. I've just summed up all of 2022 for you, so you don't have to worry about the next 12 months. I have it planned out here. You don't have to do a thing. But what you could do is stay tuned right now. We have an interview with Pops Foster coming up soon, but before that, it's Charles Mingus here on 101.5 The Hawk. The Hawk. Welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was Charles Mingus with Self-Portrait in Three Colors. A real epitome, I think, to jazz and what it can do. A self-portrait in music is an interesting concept. You can capture things that you can't do by a regular self-portrait. That is to say, an actual portrait. Four sides, a two-dimensional picture, a photograph, a drawing, a painting. In music, we're able to capture almost a three-dimensional aspect in a portrait. The music tells us about this character without lyrics, just with the notes alone. This strolling, almost somber tune seems to encapture perhaps Mingus's diminutive and quiet, his bouncy yet charismatic and patient attitude that he held. Now, coming up, we're going to take a look and listen about George Pops Foster, an incredible bassist. We have an interview with him, and talking about him, he's a kind of patient guy. The bassist plays a key part in a lot of bands, and even in his solos. He produces a sound, he enhances the rhythm and keeps time, unlike almost any other person within the band. It's a different style of drum, if we're talking about what it plays in part within a quartet or a trio or a duo or whatever it is. The bass is truly a key part, I think, of a classic jazz sound. Every band is exceptional when it has one, and a good bassist can be hard to come by, but it can also be very rewarding when you do have one. And that's what George Pops Foster was to a lot of artists. Working alongside Jimmy Archie's band as well as Earl Hines' small band, he also became a big tourer in the 1940s, going around Europe, especially in France, and throughout parts of the United States. And in this interview, he's just going to talk about how he got started up in music, the bass, and all the wonderful things he's done throughout his career. So have a listen here on 101.5 The Hawk.
And now we will introduce the featured guest of the evening, Mr. George Pops Foster. Evening, George. We're glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
George, we've mentioned your name quite a few times on this program, and people all know you. They've known your records. They'd like to hear a little bit about perhaps how you started to play bass and when it was and who you first started to play with. Can you remember back that far?
Well, brother and sister and myself, we had a little three-piece combination. Played birthday parties. I was playing cello then, them days. I'd stand on a box, reach the cello. And I played cello up until about, from about 19... I just remember the time I started, but I was around 6 or 7 between that playing cello until I was around 10.
Was that all bowing?
Well, I was nothing but straight bowing then. But so far as the picking, I really don't know when I started. I figured I started around 1904, soon I started playing string bass, anyhow. That's when I started. Because I was playing 3-string bass in them days. We used what you call a G, D, and A strings. He didn't have the E string then. There was too many strings on a string bass them days, so most old fellas. And then my brother bought a big bass with 4 strings on it, and I had to learn to play the 4 strings. Well, instead of tuning the E strings, as the E string, I tuned it as a C. That's why I can play the 5-string bass a day on account of that accident I'd made then.
Well, what was the first professional band that you played with?
Let me see. We had a little band called the Roseros. Well, they didn't amount to much. We played quite a few parties, but the first professional band was the Magnolia Band. From the Magnolia, I played around with the Olympia Band, Eagle Band, Silver Leaf Band, Golden Leaf Band.
Well, I guess you must have played with Bunk Johnson and Freddie Keppard.
Well, I played with them guys many years ago. Bunk when he was a young boy. I was a little fella myself them days. Not old man yet, I don't think.
Well, which band did you play with the longest? Louis Russell?
Louis Russell. I stayed with him 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Then you played with Louis Armstrong for quite some time.
Well, Louis and I played often on together since around 1914. Where we'd go, we'd finally get together around New Orleans, St. Louis. And when he went to Chicago, I went to California. We didn't get back together then until I come to New York, which was 1929.
Well, it was about that time, I think, that you made Mahogany Hall stomp.
That made string bass famous, Mahogany Hall.
Well, let's hear Mahogany Hall then, shall we?
Thank you. There's a summer place where it may rain or storm, yet I'm safe and warm for within. That summer place, your arms reach out to me, and my heart is free from all care. For it knows there are no gloomy skies when seen through the eyes of those who are blessed with love and the sweet secret of a summer place. Is that it's anywhere when two people share all their hopes, all their dreams, all their love?
The Hawk. Welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was a short interview with Pops Foster, talked about his life and career in jazz, followed by Mahogany Hall Stomp by the man himself, and then we had Andy Williams with A Summer Place. And coming up now, I take you over to our Comedy Corner, where this week we have none other than the Italian-influenced comedian himself, Sebastian Maniscalco, a man who's had a great surge in popularity over the past 5 years, and rightfully so. He's become a talented and funny comedian. In fact, he's played so well on the stage that they brought him to the screen in The Green Book in 2018, The Irishman 2019, the Martin Scorsese gangster film. And he will be appearing in the Super Mario animated movie that comes out next year. I believe they plan to have it come out. Well, he'll be playing Spike, Mario and Luigi's boss. He also has a show on Discovery Plus where he joins his friends and family to explore food culture and etiquette, much like many famous people do these days. So in this comedy bit from his special Modern Love, he's talking about how a woman eats can be a huge deal breaker for him and other such etiquette. I suppose it's a pre-reference to his new show on Discovery Plus. So this is Sebastian Maniscalco on 101.5 The Hawk.
First date's the big date, right? A lot of deal breakers going on that first date. I watch how a woman eats. This is a huge deal breaker for me, okay? Took a girl out for Italian food. She ate everything on the plate. I got no problem with that. But then she took a piece of bread and did a sponge jab. My father does that during the holidays. You might want to wait till we fall in love until you start mopping up sauce. Another big deal breaker for me, when I go to the girl's house for the first time. Ladies, be prepared for the come over, okay? Have some options for me. You come to my place, I'm ready. It's like a hotel. Soon as we walk in, I turn around. You want a little Diet Coke, apple juice, wine? What do you want? I got Orangina. Nobody's got Orangina. Throw that at a chick. You want a glass of Orangina? You have Orangina? Yeah, I got it. Sit down. This girl had nothing. We walked in, she turned around, she's like, do you want some water or something like that? Water? I'll get that out of the hose. One night, went to this girl's house, she had a little scotch. I said, you know, put that on the rocks, right? She brought it out. I went to take a sip. I smelled the ice cubes. The ice cubes smelled like the freezer. I'm like, what is this, Johnny Walker and mixed vegetables? Change out your cubes! Every 3 days I'm breaking ice at my house fresh. But in the beginning, everything's fantastic. When you first start dating, first couple months, everything's adorable, right? You flirt with each other. She might be making a salad in the kitchen. She might have a little broccoli hanging off her head. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. Right? You walk in, you're like, baby, you got a piece of broccoli hanging off your head. She flirts right back. She's like, oh, sorry. You get married, you have a couple kids. That shit ain't funny anymore. Little things start pissing you off about the person. Just everyday movement could set you off, right? Just watching somebody brush their teeth in the morning, right? You're sitting there looking in the mirror like, oh, look at this crap.
Thank you.
101.5 The Hawk. We're coming up on the end of the 6 to 7 p.m. hour for this Wednesday, and that also means it is nearly the end of the Johnny Athens Variety Hour for this week on 101.5 The Hawk. And of course, we'll be back. That was Sebastian Maniscalco, followed by Dexter Goldberg with When I Take My Sugar to Tea, and Lofi with James, a new indie artist that produces a really wonderful sound and has a very interesting way of writing, kind of direct but still inspired. I very much enjoyed, and you can check her out on YouTube. She has a lot of music there, has done some live stuff on her channel, and some duets with some other artists, and that is L-A-U-F-E-Y, Laufey. I'll also post that on our social media so you can take a look. On Facebook, it's Johnny Athens Entertainment, or Instagram is Johnny.Athens. Make sure to take a peek and get in touch with all of that fun stuff coming up. And until then, I thank you so much for listening. And to those who didn't listen, didn't get the chance to tune in, it's the thought that counts, so don't worry about it. Until next time, I bid you all adieu, and I thank you so much for tuning in once again. See you next week, Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., Johnny Athens Variety Hour, right here on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you.